We're here trying to do something about the stigma of mental health, which we clearly, I think, have come a long way in this society. Probably not nearly long enough. But I think about the last few years, there seems to be a lot more open discussion when it comes to mental health. There's a lot of open discussion about the opioid crisis that's going on in our community, as well as across the nation, and how often mental health plays into that issue. Maybe I'm wrong, but it does to me seem like, Tim, that we're talking about this more.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
Get a little closer there, Tim, if you don't mind. There you go. Tim Mackin joins us, by the way, along with Rachel Rodiker. Tim's the executive director of the Macon County Mental Health Board. If you could explain, maybe, let's start with that point. What, the Macon County Mental Health Board, what is that?
So the Mental Health Board in Macon County is a 708 board. It was brought into existence under the Mental Health Act in 1965. And we exist, the county levies a tax levy for the specific purpose of providing funding for mental health, developmental disabilities, and substance use treatment, especially for areas that are gap areas or need areas that aren't met by funding from the state.
Okay. And so how broad an umbrella is that? I mean, I assume that covers a lot of ground.
It covers a lot of ground. We have 23 contracts currently spanning the developmental disability SA, substance use, and mental health services. And it really does fill those gaps. So it ranges from prevention programs to supporting addiction services that individuals where they don't have funding, to mental health programs that fill gaps, that, again, where the state doesn't.
And I certainly don't want to imply that everyone who has a mental illness ends up committing criminal behavior. That's certainly not the case. But if you look at the jail, you know, we end up with a jail full of people that probably need mental health help more than they need the judicial system.
Absolutely. So my career, I've been at this for 30-some years. A lot of individuals with mental illness do engage in behaviors, not because it's necessarily volitional, but it's their lack of awareness of, you know, fancy terms, but executive functioning, not realizing that their actions are illegal and what the consequences might be. You combine substance use on top of that, and then the illegal activity and behavior gets even more exacerbated. So,
But as a society, we would be much better off treating those people rather than incarcerating them.
Exactly. So treatment is far better than incarcerating, because they don't get better while they're in prison.
No.
And that's...
Nor is the jail prepared. I mean...
Absolutely not.
You know, they're not mental health professionals, and they're not addiction professionals. They're law enforcement.
Correct.
All right, so a couple of things we want to talk about here, and Rachel, feel free to jump in. There's an event coming in March, on March 12th. So you can put that on your calendar. You guys are going to be at the Mount Zion Convention Center. But leading up to that event, there is a survey that you want people to fill out. Tell me about the survey first.
Sure. So it is our unmet needs survey. There are three different areas. So it's mental health and mental illness, substance use, and developmental disabilities. So that survey can be found on our website at www.mcmhb.com.
Now, you're way too young to just say www. No, you don't have to do that anymore. We had Dan Calkins call it the Facebook this morning, and now Rachel goes www.
Sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Just
mcmhb.com.
mcmhb.com. We'll put a link up to that with the podcast today so that folks can find that. How long, you know, people are kind of fracturing their time. I mean, how hard is it? How long does it take to fill this survey out?
So we are asked, it takes about 5 minutes. It depends. You can do one area. You can go back and do all three if you really want to. So it's a quick survey. It's going through, and basically you are choosing areas that you feel are areas of unmet needs when it comes to those categories. And then you go through next and you rank them in order of most important to least important.
Okay, so it's not a long thing. I mean, people can do it pretty quickly. All right, and then tell me about what's going to happen for this focus on the future, because this event's going to take place from 10 a.m. until 2:30 p.m.
Sure. So then once we analyze those results, we're going to present the results on March 12th at Focus on the Future. And so there will be a presentation on the results that morning starting at 10 a.m. We have lunch then, and then after that will be our guest speaker, Kevin Hines, at 1 o'clock.
Okay, tell me who Kevin Hines is. Many people probably familiar with this story, even if they don't remember all of it. In 2000, this is the man who tried to kill himself jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge and survived.
So Kevin Hines is a less than 1%er, which means individuals who jump off the Golden Gate Bridge with the intent of killing themselves, less than 1% survive. So of over 2,000 known suicides, they think the number is actually higher, closer to 4,000 who jumped off that bridge. Kevin survived, and he has dedicated his life to helping prevent people from doing this and giving a message of hope. He's a phenomenal presenter.
Okay, so he'll be there at 1 o'clock, I believe. Yes. Do they have to have tickets, register? I mean, how do people participate in the event itself?
So they can register at our website, mcmhb.com. and so they can register at our website. It is free to attend. They can register to attend the full event starting at 10 o'clock, which lunch is provided at that, free of charge. Or they can register for just the guest speaker portion, and that starts at 1 o'clock. But okay. We do ask that they pre-register.
So you have an idea for food and all of
Correct.
That. Correct. All right. And so that, once again, that website is mcmhb.com. And the event takes place Tuesday, March 12th from 10 a.m. till 2:30. The guest speaker portion, as Rachel just mentioned, at 1 o'clock. So I'm sure that is an interesting story to tell. I think we've got to be smarter about how we do things in this country. Even if you lack the sort of compassion just for your fellow mankind, it's just the smarter thing to do to front and invest in making people better than paying for them to be in jail the rest of their lives or losing people to suicide or family members that go through this. And in order to do that, I think I've lived in a lifetime where we used to say the C word. You know, we didn't pronounce cancer out loud. And look where we are today, you know. And so we need to get there with mental health.
Absolutely. So I suppose, and you mentioned this earlier, that the stigma has been reduced, but it's not totally gone. I think the stigma in many ways is still pretty severe when it comes to substance use disorders. The combined problem is significant. And while I think there's a greater awareness of the opioid epidemic, there is a crisis going on in this country, and that's the suicide crisis. And it's not talked about. We'll hear about bursts of it when there's a celebrity that commits suicide, but then it just fades away quickly. And I think the statistics are scary. I think if there's 25 states alone have had a 30% increase in the suicide rates. There's been an increase in every state in the union, ranging from 6% to a high of 59% in South Dakota. So it's a staggering thing that's happening, and we need to bring awareness to that.
Is there? I'm sure there's not a reason, but are there some prolific reasons as to why those numbers are jumping? I mean, I think about kids growing up with the pressure through social media that I didn't have to go through. You know, when you're young and full of angst anyway, and the pressure and the meanness, you know, on social media from our fellow human beings, I'm always astonished. But I'm 52 years old and have thick skin. I can't imagine what it would be like at 14.
Right. So there's multiple variables involved in it, but the one I heard most recently, that the one I'm more specifically aware of, this is the last several years, really has been a strong relationship to the economy. There was a big spike in middle-aged white male suicides in the country. It had a lot to do with unemployment and then inability to get back in the labor force. So that was a significant variable. So we're not really sure. It'd be interesting to see what happens now when the next statistics come from the Centers for Disease Control.
Well, I mean, I do think, though, on the younger side of things, we don't know what all this means long term. I mean,
right.
This has only been in our life for 10 or 11 years. I mean, you know, and you look at your screen time and people not socializing or you know, one-on-one with people, you know, they're still doing it, but they're doing it through a screen, you know, with people that are somewhere else. I don't know that we know what the long-term impact on society is with all of that. It's great. There's a lot of pluses, but I'm assuming there's a lot of minuses too.
Absolutely. So one of the big variables involved, an overall predictor of life expectancy, is includes this idea of social isolation. Social isolation doesn't just have to be from a lack of human beings directly. I mean, it's social media does it as well. You're not connecting with people.
Not the same way, anyway.
Just not the same.
All right. Once again, folks, put March 12th on your calendar. That's a Tuesday from 10 to 2:30. You can go to mcmhb.com. And fill out the survey and register for the event. And Kevin Hines will be in town to tell his incredible story. We appreciate both of you guys coming in and sharing the information.
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You.
All right.